the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, August 15, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. No clear favorite in Iowa, and a collapsing coal industry leaves miners fighting for benefits and back pay. Now here's our top story. Stocks and commodities tumbled in Europe, the United States, and in Asia. The New York Times reporting that comes as risk-averse investors race to the safety of government bonds, pushing bond prices sharply higher, and yields, which move in the opposite direction, to the lowest levels not seen in years. The Times notes that a drop in the S&P reflected a rapid shift in sentiment just a day after a 1.5% gain, which had been driven by the White House decision to narrow the scope of the next round of tariffs on China that disparage American consumers for the holiday shopping season. The Iowa State Fair drew nearly two dozen Democratic presidential candidates, but the founder of an Iowa Democratic online news site says there was no clear favorite.
Pat Reinhard started the online news outlet Iowa Starting Line in 2015. He says candidates who attended the fair were paying more attention than usual to agriculture and how climate change is affecting Iowa farmers. But they also were forced to address immigration and gun control after the El Paso shooting that left 22 dead occurred days before the fair began.
It certainly changed what the candidates spoke about this past week and what the voters were interested in hearing. But that's one of those moments that you're able to see how a candidate might respond to it as president.
Reinhard believes most of those who heard the presidential hopeful speak had four or five favorites, with no one candidate running away with a large segment of the Democratic electorate. I'm Roz Brown.
For the first time ever, the Iowa Democratic nominating contest next February will have a virtual option, with those participating able to cast their votes over the phone rather than attending in person. The goal is to open the caucuses to more people, especially evening shift workers and people with disabilities. And a wave of coal company bankruptcies has left miners fighting for back pay and medical benefits.
Three large coal producers have gone under this year. At the same time, an epidemic of black lung disease is sweeping many coal mining communities. Letcher County resident Patty Ambergy says her husband, a coal miner, died from decades of exposure to coal dust. They were married for 45 years.
And destroyed his body. It's like a storm went through and there wasn't nothing left.
Last month, miners traveled to Washington to press lawmakers on legislation that would ensure retired miners suffering from black lung disease and their families are paid disability benefits when a miner's employer has gone bankrupt. I'm Nadia Romlagan.
A group of miners continues to camp out blocking coal trains near Cumberland and demanding missing paychecks. This is PNS. The state of Maryland this week launched a commission to examine the state's history of racially motivated lynchings.
The Maryland Lynching Truth and Reconciliation Commission held an organizational meeting to begin the work of addressing how the state should honor and support those who lost their lives to lynchings. Democratic delegate Joseline Pena Melnick was the chief sponsor of HB 307, which passed unanimously by the General Assembly this spring to create the Restorative Justice Panel.
There's a lot of racially motivated incidents happening and hate crime, you know, is at an all high in this country. And there's a lot of racist rhetoric. We need to definitely confront our past.
Pena Melnick says the panel is looking for four public members to join the committee. Members include representatives from historically black colleges in the state, as well as from the National Archives. This is Diane Bernard reporting.
That panel will meet again in September at the University of Baltimore School of Law in a public event with the Maryland Lynching Memorial Project. And a new analysis says states like Connecticut could see major gains from a new approach to transportation.
The report from the Acadia Center shows that a well-designed transportation cap and invest policy could help the state put more than $2.7 billion into clean transportation by 2030, generating more than 23,000 jobs and $7 billion in economic activity. Like the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative that generates funds to reduce carbon emissions from power plants, the Transportation and Climate Initiative will auction pollution credits linked to wholesale transportation fuels. According to Amy McLean Sauls, the center's Connecticut director, transportation accounts for 40% of the state's greenhouse gas emissions.
By reducing our greenhouse gas emissions and putting money into clean transportation infrastructure, we would be addressing some of the most egregious problems regarding greenhouse gas emissions, which have to be reduced for the state to meet its climate goals.
So far, 9 states and the District of Columbia have signed on to the Transportation and Climate Initiative. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
According to that analysis, by the year 2030, those TCI funds would allow Connecticut to invest in 170,000 electric vehicles, as well as their associated charging infrastructure. And as the dog days of summer drag on, pet owners being reminded to steer clear of ponds with smelly water containing blue-green algae blooms. Mark Erbers with the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks Department.
If you get into a blue-green algae area and the dog drinks a significant amount of that water, then yes, he can die very quick.
Animals can experience symptoms within minutes of exposure to toxins in such lakes or ponds. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.